We want to really draw this series to a close that we've been thinking of this month of December, and we've been thinking about different journeys. I'm just going to put this next slide up so that you can see there's other journeys that we haven't mentioned. When we think about this Christmas season, and we read the Christmas story, you're going to see in a moment some of the journeys that actually took place during that story. Some have mentioned, some we haven't. There was the journey of the angel Gabriel, who came to Zechariah, and then he came to Mary. There was the journey of Mary, who then went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. There was the journey of the angel of the Lord, who came to Joseph, and we've seen a video about that this morning. There was the journey then of Mary and Joseph, perhaps with a donkey, off to Bethlehem. And then the angel came back again and gave the message to the shepherds that the baby has been born. And then the shepherds went down the hill to Bethlehem and then spread the word to everyone. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus then went up to Jerusalem when Jesus was 8 days old to present him to God. And then the wise men came from the east, the Magi, to Jerusalem. And then they came to Bethlehem, and then they went back home again to where they came from. Even when that was all over, there was yet another journey that we don't really talk a lot about at Christmas time, but it was an important journey. That was the journey of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus down to Egypt, and then back again to Nazareth sometime later. And all of those journeys were journeys that people or heavenly beings took at this wonderful time of year that we call Christmas. But today I want to talk about the final journey, the one in red at the bottom. None of all these other journeys would have happened if the great journey of God from heaven to earth hadn't taken place. And that is the story of Christmas. That's what we come to celebrate today. That's what we sing about. That's what our faith is built on. That's the whole heart of the message of the Bible, that God came to earth. It had been promised in the Old Testament. It came true, and the gospel writers record it. And the rest of the New Testament tries to explain what that meant for us. And here we are, 2,000 years later, still celebrating the fact that God came to earth in the form of Jesus. When the gospel writers started to mention it, they were all quite strange. But I'm going to say something else to you. This is rather embarrassing, okay? Because Christmas is, the Christmas story is about different dreams that people had. But I want to ask you, have you ever had a strange dream? You ever had a dream, maybe you can't remember your dreams. Maybe you can. Maybe you're troubled by your dreams. Well, my confession is this week, and even my family don't know this yet, so they're all sitting here going, what is he going to share with these people today? I had a very, very strange dream. If you can pick this out, it's a picture of a man shaving. And it was a dream of me shaving. Say, so what? Where was I shaving? I was shaving here in front of the church. As I was looking in the mirror like this as I was shaving, I saw all of you lot. Okay? Now, you'd be grateful to know I did have clothes on at the time. At least the bottom half of my body did have some clothes on. I'm shaving myself, looking in a mirror, realizing I'm not standing in the bathroom, I'm standing at the front of the church, which means I'm late for church. It was Christmas morning, I was due to be at church, I was late, and I was shaving, and you were all sitting here waiting for me to come to church, and I am shaving. I think, oh my goodness, that's so embarrassing. I'm still shaving, they're all waiting for me. I know what I'll do. I'll play some recorded music for them. So I phoned Timothy Healis, okay, from the bathroom as I'm shaving myself. I said, Timothy, you need to put some music on, okay? Find something on the internet and keep them going until I get there. Because I'm late, I'm clearly disorganized, okay? I'm really embarrassed. Please, Timothy, put on some music. So Timothy started playing this wonderful, beautiful music, and you all were quite calm and quite happy, okay, even though I wasn't there. But what Timothy didn't realize is he had actually tapped into a service from America that was being streamed live over the internet, okay? And then when the music stopped, the preacher of that church got up and then started to preach to you. So you started hearing this guy from America, and you're going, who is this person? Where is Don? Why is he not here? This is disastrous. It's chaos. It's Christmas. He's ruined Christmas for everyone. And then I woke up, and I went, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that was a dream, okay? So I guarantee I will be up, okay, even though my boys have all grown up, I'll be up at 6 o'clock on Christmas morning. I will have shaved. I'll got my aftershave on. I'll be dressed. I will be here on time. It was so embarrassing. And I'm so grateful that I'm looking at you today thinking it was just a dream. It didn't take place. Why do I share that? Because I felt disorganized. I felt I was late. I was supposed to be somewhere and I wasn't there and I'd missed it. And you were all going, I was going to spoil all of your Christmas. But the good thing about the story that we celebrate today is God was not late. God was not disorganized. God was not, you know, forgetful. The Bible says in the book of Galatians these words, when the time had fully come. Another translation says, when the right time came. When just the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. And what that verse is saying to us is simply this, is that God's timing is impeccable. For those who don't speak English, that simply means God's timing is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He's right on time. He's not too early. He's not too late. There's times when we maybe feel he doesn't show up, maybe in answer to our prayers. We're praying for something. We're waiting for something. Where is God? But his timing is perfect. And I know that many of you believe that. Some of you this year have had challenging years and difficult times, or you've been praying for something. But God does show up. Maybe not when we want him to. Maybe not when we're expecting him to. But he does show up. He has plans. He knows when those plans will come about. He has a timetable. He's completely organized. And he will bring his plans about. The bit at the end, by the way, you might think, well, what does all that mean? It simply means he was born to live among us. Okay, he was born to live in our world, under the laws of our world. Okay, Jesus, in one sense, his birth was miraculous, but in another sense, he came the way you and I do. He was born through the womb of a woman. God came in flesh in the form of a baby, just like we all did, just like we all come into this world. And this was such a wonderful story that the gospel writers had to describe it. And so we talk about in life having a 360 view. In other words, it means we just see things from all four angles. Somebody looks at it from this way, someone looks at it this way, someone looks at it this way, and someone looks at it this way. We get the whole picture. And isn't it interesting, when Jesus came into the world, when God sent his son into the world, it wasn't just one story, it was four stories that we got, all telling the story from different angles, so that we would get the big picture. Mark, he started. He didn't even talk about Jesus coming into the world as a baby. He knew about it, but he wanted to get to why. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why was the baby born? And in the video that Peter showed us this morning, right at the end of the video, it showed Jesus going out and preaching and healing. And then it showed him breaking bread, him eventually dying on the cross and raising from the dead. And Mark went, that's why he came. So let's tell people the story of why the baby was born and why the baby came into the world. It began with his baptism, said Mark, when Jesus started his ministry. But then we don't know how much later. Mark was the first one to write, by the way. Another guy, a man called Luke, he wrote his gospel. He said, no, Mark, it didn't begin when Jesus started to do all the wonderful things that he did. It began one day when an angel called Gabriel appeared to a young virgin girl called Mary. That's when it began. It began when God sent this messenger from heaven to give the news to a girl that she's going to have a baby. So he says, Mark, you've forgotten it all began then. That's when the wonderful story of God and what he did in our world began. And then a little bit later, again, we don't know how much more later, another gospel called Matthew was written. And he said, actually, no, you've both got it wrong. Okay, it didn't begin when the angel Gabriel came and gave the message to Mary. It began a long, long time before that. Matthew says he starts his gospel with what's called a genealogy, which traces back the history right into Israel. And he goes the whole way back to Abraham, and he says, there was this man called Abraham, and God gave him a promise thousands of years ago. And the people of Israel were waiting for God to fulfill that promise. And then an angel appeared to a girl called Mary. And then Jesus came to change our worlds. And then along came John. I want to read from the scripture this morning. I want to read from John chapter 1. You can listen to me reading, or you can follow in your Bible or your phone if you like. John chapter 1. This is what John says. Now, we do know that John's gospel was written quite a long time after the other gospels. Maybe as much as 40 years after the first gospels were written, John came along. So he had these other gospels. He read the gospel of Mark and why Jesus came. He read the gospel of Luke and all the wonderful stories of shepherds and angels and the baby Jesus coming to Mary and Joseph. He read the gospel of Matthew, tracing back the promise to the Jewish people. But John had another perspective, and that's the one I want to share with you this morning. This is what John says. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the very beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The true light that gives light to everyone, this is verse 9, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though this world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, but even his own people didn't recognize him. Verse 14, then the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Deep words, deep theology in these words. But I want to just go through a few of the things this morning that John says. So John, I can just imagine John, he'd be this wonderful man who spent 3 years of his life with Jesus. And in John's gospel, he never names himself. He doesn't say, this is the gospel according to John. Okay? He keeps himself almost a secret. And a few times in the gospel, he describes one of Jesus' disciples as the disciple that Jesus loved. And most people believe that's John. He's describing himself. It wasn't that Jesus didn't love the other disciples. He loved them all. But he had a really special understanding of God's love for him. I'm the man that Jesus Christ loved. Another time in the Gospel of John, John describes one of the disciples, and he lays his head on Jesus' chest. Like they were at this table, they were having a meal, and this disciple just puts his head back and leans on Jesus. And again, most writers, authors believe, and commentators, that that's John describing himself as well. So you get this picture of this man who had a really intimate relationship with Jesus. So much so that he puts his head on Jesus' chest and listens to his heartbeat. Isn't that amazing? Putting your heart, putting your head, putting your ear on the very heart of Jesus and listening to his heartbeat. That's what John did. And he realized not just, you know, that Jesus' heart was beating, but that Jesus' heart was beating with love for the world. And as John thought more deeply about the Christmas story, more deeply about all these wonderful things that we read, he realized this didn't happen with Abraham. That's not when it started. This started before any of us or anything came into being. In the presence of God, in heaven itself, this person was there. And this is how he describes it. He says, in the beginning was the Word. He doesn't even call him Jesus. He describes him as someone who's with God, who is speaking out the very words of God. And he says, this Word, the one who's speaking the words of God, was with God. He's right there. Before anything came into being, he's right in the very presence of God. And he says, the Word was God. He wasn't just a creature like an angel or like a human being that God made. Of all the wonderful things that God made, he was eternal. He was with God. He was always at the Father's side. And maybe as John leans his head on Jesus, and John listens to the heartbeat of Jesus and feels so close to Jesus, maybe that's when it dawned on him. And he realized that this person that we saw, that we heard, that we touched, that we walked around with, his head, if you want, was on the heart of God. He was right there in the beginning with God, and he was one with God, and he was God. He repeats, he was with God in the very beginning. You see, folks, as wonderful as the Christmas story is, with the birth of the baby and angels and wise men and shepherds and all of these great parts of the story, if we don't get beyond that, if we don't think a little bit more deeply about that, we'll miss the point. The point began in heaven. The point began, if you want, in eternity, with God as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit, enjoying one another's presence for all eternity, loving, living together, and sharing this amazing life, the life of God itself, wanting to share that. Scholz is absolutely right. Christmas is about a gift. Christmas is about us giving gifts to one another and receiving, and I'm going to share a few stories in just a wee minute, practically, of how that happened in our church this week and this month. So hang on to your seats. Don't leave early. If you need to go to the toilet, hold on, okay? Because you don't want to miss these stories. They're really, really good stories of things that happened this week. It's about gifts. It's about giving and receiving of gift. And as we saw in the video, as Scholz said, it's about the gift of Jesus. But that gift was planned way, way, way back in eternity itself. As the Father and the Son and the Spirit decide, let's share what we have with somebody else. Let's share our life. Let's share the love that we experience with others. This is too good to keep to ourselves. We need to share it. And they discuss, and we have no idea what went on in the heart and mind of God. We can only imagine. They think, well, let's make a world. In fact, let's make worlds. Okay, and let's make them, and let's just watch them explode into being, and let other worlds and galaxies create. And let's pick one. Of all of these millions of galaxies and worlds, let's pick one, a little tiny one, okay, right in the heart of one of these galaxies. See that one right down there that we're going to make? Let's call it Earth. There's a good name for a planet, Earth. And we will then make other living things on that planet. How about we make trees? How about we make rivers? How about we make fish and birds and dinosaurs and dogs and cats and aardvarks and meerkats? Let's make all kinds of wonderful creatures, and let's make creatures just like us. Let's call them human beings. And we'll make them, and we'll call some men, and we'll call some women, and then we'll give them the Holy Spirit, and they will be just like us. And then let's go. Let's just go down to that earth ourselves one day, just like them, and let's help them to live their lives the way we want them to. That's what God did. That's God's plan. That's what John saw. And in the rest of John chapter 1, he tries to describe for us in these verses what that means for us when God did it. What does it look like when God stepped into our world, when God came from heaven to earth in the form of Jesus? The first thing John says is this. It's like God turned on the lights. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. God came into the world as the light. He came into the world to enlighten us. That's what words do. Okay, words enlighten and explain, teach people, whether it's at school or whether it's us teaching our kids or we're learning on the internet. When we read things, we learn. We're enlightened. And he says, we want to turn on the light and help people to see where they're going and why they're here, why they exist, what life is all about. We want to turn on the light. But, John says, there's going to be some darkness. And the darkness is going to fight against the light. The darkness doesn't want the light to come, okay? But he says the darkness will not be able to overcome the light. Verse 5, the light will shine in the darkness, and the darkness will have to go away. The darkness will not be able to stand against the light. And I think John is not just describing what happened when Jesus came into the world, but if we're all honest, that's the story of our lives. That's the story of our worlds. Darkness, maybe physical darkness, maybe other kinds of darkness, all around us. I'll share a few stories in just a wee moment of ways that we've seen that darkness being wiped out in people's lives and hope and love and joy and peace coming back into people's lives. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, whatever that means, cannot overcome it. But how? We could spend a whole year and maybe the rest of our lives talking about this one verse of what it meant. The greatest minds, the greatest theologians have ever lived have tried to plumb the depths and understand what this verse means. And we won't. We will never fully understand it. Sometimes we just have to bow down in worship at the mystery of John 1 verse 14. Do you notice, like, these stories of shepherds and wise men, they didn't try to figure it out. They just bowed down at the manger. They bowed down before Jesus. They brought their gifts. They brought their worship. And then they went off to tell other people about it. And other people probably said, well, what happened? How did it happen? We don't know. What did it mean? We're not sure. But it was amazing. It was wonderful. You need to find out for yourselves. John 1:14 says, this word, who was always with God, became flesh. He became like you, and he became like me. He could have come all kinds of ways into the world, as the song says. There's all kinds of other ways that would have been wonderful stories to tell of Jesus coming into the world, but he came that way. He came through a young Jewish girl. He came through a poor couple who lived in Israel. He was born in a manger, surrounded by animals and shepherds. That's how he did it. He became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And then John goes on to say this. When he came to live among us, we didn't recognize him. We didn't recognize him. As people, the first disciples shared the message, people struggled to believe it. What? You say that is about God? God came in the form of a baby to a young girl and a man called Joseph in Israel, of all places. He bypassed Jerusalem. He bypassed Rome. He bypassed all the important places. And who cares about that place? Bethlehem, Israel, Judea. That's nobody's important comes from there. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, when Jesus grew up, he looked very ordinary. There was nothing about him that made him stand out. He wasn't muscular. He wasn't overly tall. He wasn't stunning. There was nothing about his physical appearance that made him stand out. He was an ordinary human being. And yet there was something extraordinary about his life. And John says, this is what was different about him. He came to show us what God was really like. In the ordinary flesh and bones and blood of a Jewish man who just didn't stand out from the crowd. And yet when people saw what he did, when people listened to what he said, when people ultimately followed him and saw him on a cross and saw him risen from the dead, he changed their lives. He showed people what God was really like. Now for a few good stories, some takeaways of this today. John liked words beginning with L, okay? And the first word he seemed to like was the word life. So what have we learned today through this story that John shared with us is that Jesus was the Word who brought all things into being. He brought life into our world. He came to make a difference to people's lives. I was asking Stuart McNeil, I said, we will publish this for you, okay? We're still collating us. I said, Stuart, the people need to know, the folks in our church need to know what has been happening with the Mary Brown Trust, right? You want to know. What have they been doing? Well, they have been doing, okay? They've been meeting, they've been giving money, but more than that, they've been trying to partner with other churches and other organizations to make a difference. They've been trying to bring things into being. They've been trying to improve people's lives. There's a little church I know over in Dumbarton called the Rock Community Church. Quite small. They've just got a brand new building. They don't have a lot of money. They're a small church. So a young pastor called Ollie Hyam, who's the pastor of this church, they've taken on a second worker. They've got a community hall, like a shop that they've been given, but they just don't have the money to do what they want to do. And so I remember Ollie came to me earlier this year, and he said, Don, I've heard about this trust. Could we apply to it? I said, absolutely. Well, they're sponsoring this church, the Rock Community Church, and their little community center, and their other worker. And they're investing in that church to make a difference in Dumbarton. Well done. Good job. Our friends down at the Methodist Church wanted to renovate part of their church. They run a job club every week, and they needed some new laptops because some of the laptops were broken. They invested in Pollock's Methodist Church so that they could renovate their building and buy some laptops and make a difference and bring things into being for people. Our other friends at Eastwood Church wanted to take on a youth worker. They heard that we got this amazing guy called Skoltz. They said, you're really lucky. Wish we had someone. We want to take on someone too, but we don't have enough funds to do it. So I said, check in with the Mary Brown Trust. Mary Brown Trust have given £25,000 to Eastwood Church. Well done. Good decision. So that they can take on a youth worker too. They don't have the funds to do that. And there's others that we'll tell you about later as well. So they've been partnering, not just with churches. Pollock Shaws Area Network, the hub along Shawbridge Street. Tinto School, we're buying new playground equipment for them. Other groups too in our community that aren't churches. We want to invest in them. Why are we doing that? Because we want to bring things into being. We want people to get life. We want people's lives to be different. We want to make a difference, not just here, but out of here, in other churches, in other organizations, so that people can see that this woman, this lovely lady, who left all this money to us, did it not just for us, but for other people to benefit from that. What's the other thing we've learned today? Jesus came as the Word to explain God to our world. He came to turn on the light. He came to help people see what God was really like. No, he's not like what you think he is. He's like this, okay? And when we start to do that, through Mary Brown's legacy and through the money that you give us as well. And when we start to use that for the good of others, the light will go on. People will see that light and they'll go, that's really good. If there is a God, he must be like that church. If there is a God, he must be like those people. Gosh, I didn't expect to get emotional about this morning. And I'll probably be a wee bit more emotional. Well, play with me. Okay? I had an amazing week. I really did. I said to Kirsten when I got home on Friday, she says, what was your day like? I said, it was amazing. Gosh, stop. But it touched me. It touched me. Because of when we're generous towards others, and people see that, do you know what happens? People will be generous to us too. And so on Friday morning, during Lighthouse, one of the ladies came up and said, Don, there's somebody here to see you. And I went down, and there was a guy just like Skoltz carrying his little daughter in his arms. He said, hi, Don, my name's Nick. I said, oh, hi, Nick. He said, I run a session every Friday morning in the Nuffield Health Center over at Giffnock. It's a gym, it's a health center. I think some of you are members of that health center. He said, I run a class on a Monday, on a Friday morning for 40 business leaders. And one of them said to me, he says, Nick, why don't we do a Secret Santa? He said, come on. He says, well, everybody does Secret Santa. He says, why don't, instead of doing Secret Santa for one another, why don't we find a local charity and why don't we help them? Good idea. You find one and then we'll support it. So he said, I went on the internet, Don, and I found your church. This guy doesn't go to church. And he said, I looked at your website and I saw some of the things that you do with your food bank and your Care and Share program. And he said, I heard about this cafe and I heard you were open on a Friday morning. So that's why I knew you'd be open today. And he says, I hear about all these other things that you do as well, like trying to help people in the community. Did a bit of research. And he said, that's really, really good. There's something for you. Handed me an envelope with £400 in it. £400. This man doesn't go to church. But he heard, this church are doing good things. Why are we doing Secret Santa? Okay, to get pair of socks, to get a bottle of wine from someone. He says, let's do something. And then he said, Don, I was so impressed by that. I want to give you this, but I want to know, would you come and speak to these 40 business leaders some Friday morning? I said, nah. Yes, sign me up. He said, you got to come at 6:45 on a Friday morning. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll be there. Of course I'll go. Of course I'll go and thank these people for giving us £400 so that we can use that to bless others. But what's it about? It's about that. It's about a man looking on the internet and saying, there's a wee church. They're obviously doing some good things. We need to help them and partner with them to bring a bit of light into other people's lives. And both of those stories, what we give to others and what people will give back to us. And there's several other good stories this week, but I've run out of time, and I don't want to keep you long. I'll save those for other times. But Nick was just one of four examples of something like that happening this week, and I'll tell you the others some other time. Why? Because Jesus is the one to teach us. He's the Word to say, this is how you live. This is what life is all about. This is why I came into the world. This is what can happen when you listen to what I say, when you listen to my words, when you put them into practice. This is what will happen. And so, folks, we've got a chance, all of us, to make a difference. You are making a difference. You're making a difference by being here, by what you bring, by what you give, by your prayers, so that we can bless others. But remember this morning, the reason why Jesus came was to teach us and explain to us what life was all about. Come up. So, Lord, we do thank you today for the amazing story of how you came into this world and why you came into this world to change communities like ours all these thousands of years later, we have the privilege of showing Jesus to our community. We have the privilege through our money, through our prayers, through our words, through our actions, through our acts of kindness, to show God to the world. To show God to Dumbarton. To show God to our community here. To show God to other projects happening across our city. And oh God, we pray that people really will see you. They will see you and really understand the kind of God you are and why Jesus came into our world. And so we just thank you again for that. Bless us today. Help each one of us to be your lights. Help us to spread this love. Help us to change people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.